The lurker. It's the lurker.
True. I mainly just put it up on like a second screen and listen in because, you know.
It's probably for the best.
It really is. As the lonely sales guy, you know, I might as well just chime in with, yeah, everything's backordered and it's more expensive. What do you want? Welcome to 2021.
Exactly. Yeah. What's up, Mr. Dearson?
A lot, thank God. But so much of it for 2022, we're going to have one hell of a spring, that's for sure. There's a lot of stuff going on, and we are actively trying to secure crew and put soft gear holds on stuff blindly, just to have stuff reserved, which saved my bacon for a festival last month. Because we put stuff holds on stuff, you know, 2 months in advance, knowing that the producers wouldn't pull a trigger until it was almost too late to secure stuff. So the only reason they had gear was because we did that. We're very concerned about it for the spring. So we have two really massive projects happening that are going to gobble up a lot of resources. So we're trying to just get ahead of it.
But is a soft hold just bullshit, basically? Like, oh, sorry, I don't need it anymore.
To some degree, but what it does is, you know, you know you're doing the event.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, it's happening and you're gonna need a significant amount of stuff. The for instance, this one particular project, they normally plan this a year in advance and they're just starting creative 2 weeks ago. So you're ultimately down to 5 months to pull off what they're used to having 12 to do. And so by the time they actually make the decisions to pull the trigger and give you authorizations on things, you'd be very close to that event. And with so many things happening for spring of 2022, these shops are going to be stretched. We already have all of the problems that we know about currently, and it's just going to get exacerbated from there.
Yeah.
It's a massive issue right now. I've got project next week in Austin, and the labor companies, none of the labor companies can fulfill all of the calls completely. Really, really challenging. And that's, there's a lot of things that are associated with that. It's not just the, you know, the right wingers screaming, oh, get back to work. We're giving them too much. It's, there's so much production happening that you just don't have people.
It's sort of the perfect storm of a lot of different things. Like there's a bunch of production happening. There's a lot of people who left the industry or retired or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to be kind of the perfect storm of nonsense.
It's really tough. And I think that, you know, you're looking at a situation where it should reinforce the fact that you should really appreciate your crew. You know, all the guys that are schlepping cable that make these shows happen they've always been the critical point. And I think that people take it for granted because they look at them as, well, if I break this guy, I'll just have a spare line around and we'll just fulfill the call with somebody else. And that you don't have that now because so many people did leave. And, you know, it's just like everything with the entertainment industry throughout the pandemic. If you were not going into the pandemic at the top 5 to 10% of your skill level at the top of the chain, you were probably not going to be working very much.
Yeah.
You know, and the ones that were really at the top of their game were the ones getting called to be able to pull these things off. Same thing, and I think it even a worse situation for crew personnel because they're looked at as being the lower level personnel. They're often overlooked. They're often not considered and taken care of as much. If you were a guy, you know, starting out or just didn't have a super strong career, you bounced quick and got that job at Lowe's or Home Depot, you know, doing something just to pay the bills. you know, because you weren't, you know.
You know what's another incredible thing, though? Call it a funny thing or whatever that I've been seeing is these people who are posting things on LinkedIn and saying, and they're basically sharing their company's job posting. And it says, you know, come join this incredible company who treats their people amazingly well. And then it lists five or six positions that wouldn't be open if you didn't lay off half your staff, you know, 8 months or 10 months or 12 months ago or whatever. Right. So,
yeah. And I will say, it's easy to say that now, but, you know, let's not forget the stress levels everybody was under.
No, I completely remember. Yeah. I'm not bashing anyone for
in many instances, you know, our government really shit the bed on taking care of this industry.
Hell yeah. You know,
And they just couldn't sustain, you know, and on top of that, now you had a lot of people, as you certainly know, a lot of people liquidating equipment going, we'll get rid of it now and replace it later. Never dreaming about supply chain issues and everything else. So now you got stuff that's just like you gave away your gear and your lifeline for actually completing a project. And now we're trying to put these huge shows together with, you know, slim down stuff. It's tough. And having producers that aren't pulling the trigger on things with authorizations early in the process, which I don't begrudge most of them because of the issues at hand. It's even harder for vendors because they can't get these orders in early enough. Like, you know, someone calling, you know, Eric Loader for an Elation order. And, you know, Eric's like, I'd love to fulfill it, but I got 60 ships sitting off the coast that can't get into port. So what difference does this make at this point with the gear?
It's brutal. It's brutal, you know, and like, I mean, the shows that are out, the tours that are out, I talked to Marty Hom last week, who's out with the Stones, and, you know, everyone has the same story. It's just, it's unbelievably difficult to have a show on the road right now, just, you know, between all the different protocols and all the different states' laws and local laws and city laws and this law and whatever, everybody's got a different set of rules. And then having these COVID people on your staff and testing people on your staff. And, you know, it's a nightmare.
Getting guys to fulfill the calls for local labor are one of the most challenging. There's a tour out right now that you'll go on mention that is doing three morning labor calls staggered because it's the only way they can get enough people to actually show up to do the damn show. So they do a 7 a.m. call for an 8 a.m. in because they got to do the COVID testing and everything for the guys. You can't get people to show up for a 7 a.m. call for some reason. They just don't want to get out of bed that early. Then you do a 9 and then they do an 11. And, you know, by the time they get into lunch break, they're finally got at least a complete enough crew to put the whole rig up and get through the show. I mean, I feel for them. It's an insane way to do production and, quite frankly, an expensive one at that point when you're staggering things like that.
It's tough. Hey, Cahill, how's the new gig going? It's very dark there. You need a key light.
Hang on a sec. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're in? Turn your little lights up. There you go.
There you go.
I don't have any little lights on this concert.
Well, you must be on a PRG desk.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, I just started as Toronto's lighting project manager 3 weeks ago, and I finally get to play with some lights.
You're project manager for PRG Toronto? Is that
correct? Just Toronto. I'm not a CPM, apparently.
Cool. So, congratulations on that, by the way. That's great.
Thank you. Good for you.
Should be fun. I don't know if eventually I'm going to deal with state stuff or not, but.
So I heard from my sister in Canada today that you guys just had something pass. I believe it was today maybe it's in November 1st or something, where to get on an airplane or a train in any part of Canada, you have to have a vaccination card.
I haven't been watching the news in the last week.
Smart man.
Double back, so I really don't give a shit about what they plan on doing.
Well, never know. There might be a law that says you have to be quadruple vaxxed next week.
Whenever they decide to do that. I've been too busy. I've had a 7-trailer show go up on
weekend. Yeah. Funny, because I'm still seeing pictures of you on jet skis. So
I haven't been on mine in a while. So, but yeah. 100 foot of LED wall, 150 tiles on ground support outside in the downpour, then a hydraulic leak on the truck. So, yeah, that's how
name dropper.
Nope, rider, flame rider.
So what's going on, peoples?
I got my third vax today.
You did?
I did. That's how old I am.
I figure if I stick around long enough, I'll get a third one.
In Honolulu, we're protesting at the Capitol tomorrow. We'll see how that goes.
Did they rent lights or sound?
No.
Or staging?
No, this is all people, Hawaii Events Coalition asking, well, you know, how come everywhere across the country is open and we're under restrictions that you can go to the movie theater and that's no big deal, but exchange the screen with a guitar player and you can't do that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are a bit arbitrary and we'll see.
Yeah. My sister was telling me in Calgary, Canada, you can, to go to restaurants, you have to have a vaccination card and they ID you. Basically, they ask for the card and your identification.
Yep.
But you can go to Costco, you can go to Home Depot, you can go to the shopping mall. It's just really random and weird how the rules are set up.
Well, an example when they did this massive shutdown was there was a club that, well, they had a band that played while they were sick and they got some dozen people sick and it caused a knee-jerk reaction, but it wasn't the only one. There was a wedding that was not policed at all as well. But basically, it's ironic that they shut down all events, period. And in the meanwhile, because that nightclub is also a restaurant, they were allowed to reopen.
Hmm.
So they caused this big issue. They're open and we're all having cancellations.
Interesting. You know, I was kind of hoping Steve Warren or somebody from Europe would show up today, but I see nobody is here, or I don't see anyone here that is.
Still isn't.
Because I was reading about this. Does anybody know anything about this UK EU TCA, the trade and something agreement?
I did hear something about that, but
trade and cooperation agreement.
Hmm.
So basically, from what I've read, anyways, as a UK lighting or sound touring person, you have to get a visa for every country you're going to. And oh, there's just all kinds of insane rules and stuff that you have to follow.
A truck leaving the UK can only make 2 stops before it has to return.
Yeah. Three internal trips in the EU before they must return to the UK. I actually have the rules up here. I'll drop this in the,
So did they fix it or is this just tell them how it is now?
No, this is how it is right now.
Yeah. Cause there's been companies that have had to establish, new businesses outside the UK and in the EU so that they can transfer the gear or do whatever it is they got to do. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's nuts. Like I think Steve Warren was mentioning something about it last week.
This is
a story.
The EU giving the UK a nudge because of Brexit, right?
I mean, yeah, basically that's what it seems like.
Well, and they could never come to they tried to get an agreement for, what do they call it? Cultural or something, but they never came to save that from happening so that people could work outside without having to get the visas, but it they both sides said nope.
Yeah. I've got a link to the entire agreement here too, which I'll pop in. It's incredibly boring and a very long read, but I'm sure it's important to some people. Scary stuff. Patrick Whalen, what are you doing?
I'm actually putting propellers on a drone right now. So
awesome.
Real exciting stuff.
The drone business is still going nuts?
Yeah, actually it is. The latest edition, I don't know if you can see right there, is the red camera for the bigger drone.
Yeah.
So,
how heavy is that?
That's like 7 pounds when it's all said and done with all the autofocus and or remote focus and that kind of stuff.
And they can carry that much of a payload now, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we have to go get provisional waivers because we're overweight. According to the FAA, we fly about 60 pounds. So, but, you know, I hopefully that clears up and makes it life a little bit easier. But, you know, the FAA is starting to...
Are there safeties on that camera or anything so it doesn't, like... How expensive is the camera? Isn't a red camera like 20 grand or something?
Yeah. I mean, with the lens and the focus and everything, yeah, you're pushing 18 grand. So if it crashes, it's very painful. Ouch. Not to mention the insurance for it.
Yeah.
Because every time I insure a new piece of equipment, the first thing out of my agent is it on the ground or is it going in the air? Yeah. I'm like, air. And he's like, ooh, all right, sure. So.
Wow.
But, I'm going back to Vegas on Monday. I keep having these little aerial jobs out in Vegas. And on my way to Vegas last time, I stopped and I was flying drones, like, you know, off of the remote highways and, you know, on gravel roads and have goggles on and I can't see anything except where the drone is. And I heard a snap of a shotgun on one of my flights and I lifted up my goggles and there was a guy in front of me and he's like, you filming my house? I said, nope. I said, I'm just a dumb idiot nerd with a drone and just flying around for fun. He's like, you ain't filming my house, are you? I'm like, no, sir. And I'm actually leaving right now. Funny you should say that.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, sorry about that, Whalen, but it was good to see it.
That's funny.
No, this was like a long barrel shotgun. So I knew it wasn't you.
at my house in Canada, there's a little tiny pond behind our house. And my son was flying his drone out just over that pond and just taking some pictures. I think there was some elk out there or something. And some woman who was walking her dog started throwing rocks at his drone.
Yep. Drone Karens. They're fun.
Drone Karens.
Oh, they're amazing.
So he walked out there and he's like, lady, what's your problem? Like, I'm just playing with my Christmas present, you know? What's the deal? And she's like, you have no right. It's my privacy. And he's like, look, I have no interest. You know, not only do I not have a right, I have no interest in you. I'm sorry, but
hey, it's better than him just playing with himself in her yard.
Yeah, true. Huh?
No, the people are psycho. Like they can hear a drone and they automatically think you're filming them. And, you know, I get it that a lot of people do that, but
what is the laws like though? Like for paparazzi going behind houses at Hollywood Hills and stuff, trying
to get the cities have ordinances. And, you know, all the cities have ordinances and they've changed some of the hobbyist rules. So now a hobbyist has to have, basically they have to take a test and have like a paper hobby license. And the reason why they did that was so that law enforcement now can issue a ticket if you don't have the hobbyist license. And it gives them a little bit more power because they had no power in the past. But the thing is that like the as long as you're not in Class B airspace or military, I can fly over your house. I just can't hover. If I start hovering, then it's going to be an issue. But if I want to fly over your rooftop at, you know, 30 feet above your roof, I can totally legally do that as long as I'm not trying to hover and spy. And the paparazzi are getting away with it and you know, like in the Hollywood Hills. And, you know, they're a little bit dumber. So they'll sit there and hover and try and get, you know, shots of people sunbathing in their yard and all kinds of stuff. But, and then they get popped. But if you take off from a public space and you're consistently moving and you're not hovering, you know, like it or not, it's legal.
But is taking pictures legal?
No, I mean, if your sole purpose of the flight is to spy on a property, then you're...
No, but if you're flying by, if I'm flying by your backyard and I take pictures as I'm flying by, is that legal or...
Yeah, I mean, it's when you hover. Like if you're flying and you've got the camera tilted up and it catches the house and the property and you zip over, you know... Yeah, I mean, each municipality's got their own rules, but some of them... you know, are a little bit more strict. Like Malibu is, if you fly over the house, they can confiscate it and watch the footage. And I mean, there's all kinds of city ordinances. Beverly Hills is the same way. Hollywood's not so much. They're pretty relaxed. So just depends. But you know, I mean, there's drones flying around the Hollywood Hills all the time. And now in downtown, they've got people using drones to spy on the windows. They'll literally like go down floors until they find something good. And then they'll just hover.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. So,
and they see people shredding documents frantically and feds knocking on their door. You
know. The laser scope from Dearson's rifle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just saw the video of the drone show in China that crashed.
Yeah, I was watching that, I think.
It's unbelievable.
I never saw that.
Yeah, who was doing that? I was
on my Facebook page. It's I don't know, it was like 300 or 500 drones.
I think Seth just posted it.
Yeah, and they all lost signal. Away they go. And they started dropping out of the sky like rain. I mean, they don't weigh very much. Those little plastic Chinese LED show drones don't weigh very much. They're under, I think they're around 250 grams, but... they were dropping on cars and on people, and it's pretty crazy.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're just falling out of the sky and crashing. Wow, Jesus. It's like a freaking drone snowfall.
Yeah. In the chat, everybody likes to see failure.
He did.
Oh.
Well, here's the Twitter feed of it. Hang on.
There was a bunch of Twitter feeds where people were just like freaking out because they were like just raining mini drones.
My favorite is
there's one right below the top one that I just sent you. There's one right below it that's pretty cool too, where they're just falling out of the sky.
Yeah, wow. I don't know if you watch it a couple times, you'll see people grab them and start running.
Oh my God.
Marcel, why don't you share a screen? Show us. So we can all enjoy together.
All right. Jesus. You're so bloody needy.
Just entertain us.
So Patrick, where's the hot spot to eat in Vegas now?
Whoops. Hang on. Where's the,
I have to say
the first one.
I highly recommend going over to Resorts World. Surrounding the casino, they've made this huge, rather upscale street market of like
Resorts World.
Yeah. It's almost like a Singapore hawkers market.
Really?
With really upscale stuff. And it's great. All the food is fantastic. There's like a stand, you know, they only have like two or three dishes at each stand that they specialize in.
Oh, watch that guy grab it and run.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Great.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Dude's grabbing the drone that hit the
ground. Yeah, he just bolts. The second he gets it, he's out of there.
Look at this.
Oh, my Lord.
That's just crazy. What went wrong, Patrick?
I don't know. I've heard a bunch of different theories. I actually heard one that somebody bumped the signal that was transmitting and cut the signal off, and so they basically started dropping. I don't know. Either that or a disgruntled employee that had a really fun last day.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
It's pretty
What's fantastic. This?
You fire me?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I wonder, you know, that seems to me, and I've always said this to Nils as well, because I know Nils has invested a huge amount of money into this thing, and he's doing like a crowdfunding thing now and stuff. And, you know, what Nils is doing is really impressive. But at the same time, I mean, the Chinese are going to, you know, go down market and they're going to devalue the stuff that Nils is doing to a point where somebody can sit in their backyard with their aunts and uncles and cousins and have a drone show in their backyard, you know, with probably better lights on them and really simple software where you could just draw a picture on your iPhone and it'll put it into a drone show, you know?
They've already got that.
I had a chat with Nils about that for an upcoming project, and it was interesting to discuss it with him, because you really do get a good sense of, you know, that scenario. And as with all things Chinese, with full slight intended, you're going to have a quality issue and, you know, getting it cheap and in bulk, and it's going to turn to shit. So you can't rely on any of that stuff truly working in any sort of wind condition whatsoever.
Yeah. I disagree. I mean, I think you're talking 20 years ago right now. You know, nowadays, like, I mean, look at Alation, look at Chauvet, look at...
Nils, you sold me a bunch of bullshit.
No, I mean, you know, obviously I would trust Nils before I would trust, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to make up a Chinese name and make an ass of myself, but I would trust Nils before I would trust, you know, the far away version of Nils. And that's going to matter. But at the end of the day, I think it's going down market. So does Nils. You know, it's why he's going heavier into manufacturing their own drones and, you know, just really trying to control the market more, his entire market.
The drone show we used on Beaver, I think Nils has worked with them or is part of them somehow, but I mean, they can fly up to 20 mile an hour winds, which was pretty surprising. But they make their own, and they do look actually like this. So they just have a LED ball underneath it. So it's not like the plastic light Chinese drones. They've got some meat to them. And I think they can fly for like 5 or 8 minutes, but the new drone shows, I mean, are basically like an iPhone like this. And so you've got a whole screen now, and they're being able to stack these to make kind of a virtual video wall up in the sky. It's crazy. I saw some test videos. It's not out to market yet, but I went to a drone show in Vegas, and this guy's got a drone, and he's got these like little things on it. And I go, "What are those?" He goes, "Those are for fireworks." I'm like, "What?
Awesome. Oh my God."
I go, "I have to ask, how many times has this been done in the US? He goes, "Not done here yet." I'm like, "Yeah,
yeah, no shit.
Pretty sure they're not going to let you put missiles on it." And it looked amazing. Like, you can have smoke grenades and you can actually have rockets that shoot off. And I'm like,
"Oh my God."
An afternoon in the desert with a couple of guns and some rocket propelled drones.
Quite popular in Ramadi, I
guess. Patrick, new LDI right now.
What's that?
Is that Chris?
I said, is that going to be Patrick's new LDI shooting trip? He's going to go out with explosive drones with missiles.
Yeah, but you should say that.
You should be able to do drone dogfights.
They do.
I mean, that would be fun. Do they really?
Yeah, they do drone tag and all kinds of shit, but yeah.
No, I'm talking dogfights where you shoot the other dude's drone down.
Oh, they'll do it where they like hit each other and try and knock the other guy out of the air.
Oh, like what's that thing called? Something bots?
Yeah, battle bots, right?
Yeah, it's in the air. Bots,
yeah.
Yeah, it's huge in Pahrump right now. It's real big in Pahrump.
The link that Seth Scott put in the chat's really fantastic. Alibaba, for $8,200, you can purchase the full thing.
Are you serious? Oh my god, that's hilarious.
I have to see this.
I was really hoping they'd have like something to control on there, but
that
it's amazing.
Is hilarious.
At least they spell drone shows correctly.
I mean, they've got a video too. I mean, that ain't the drone show you're buying for $8,200.
No. I kind of want to just to see.
There's your typical bait and switch thing right there. They show like freaking 300 drones or something. I'm pretty sure this is from Intel for $8,200.
Oh yeah, one of those is the Intel show for sure. You can see him take off.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
how many are in the set though? It just says six. Set, but how many's in it?
Show for $52,000. Scroll down a little.
Yeah, but this one,
you're trying to figure out how many are in this set.
You can make a circle with this one drone show. Oh my God, this is amazing. I love Alibaba.
It's hilarious. I wonder if anybody ever bought anything on Alibaba and went, "Man, I got a great deal." and it really worked out well.
So there's, I forget, there's another thing like Alibaba. It's not like WhatsApp, it's like WhatsApp or
there's
something.
There's 10 in it. There's 10 drones in it.
For $8,000?
10 drones, one repeater, four base stations, 34 batteries, 10 chargers, and one flight case. They show a picture. If you scroll down that link, if you scroll down, you see a picture of the whole package of 10 drones.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry. Craziness. Good find, Seth.
Only on Alibaba.
Yes.
Weren't they selling Martin Lighting on there? Like I could have sworn I saw like a Mac 500 or 600 on there recently.
Yeah.
There's MAs on there.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's
clone MAs.
You can search it. MA console. It'll come up.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
My favorite are the ones that say MA Lighting, but then it looks like an Avo Lights. Those are my personal favorite.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I just searched for MA Lighting console.
Is there one on there?
Yeah, console MA Controller DJ Professional Stage Lighting Console MA2 DJ. It's between $1,850 and $2,500.
Wow,
that's gotta be legit.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, God, it looks like a piece of shit. Hang on,
All you're going to receive is a compact disc with Granime on PC burned on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look at this thing.
Oh,
it's
wow.
A beauty. Whoa, look at that baby.
Patrick, what are you going to do when that shows up on one of your gigs?
Oh, it has. You don't understand. We had a big issue.
Can you imagine?
That so thing's amazing.
It's a whole thing. I mean, working in Asia, you're gonna come across this stuff no matter what. And so, in doing so many festivals globally, one of the things that we put out as a technical specification was that we would basically accept all substitutions for just about anything in the rig, with the exception of the control system. The control system must be authentic MA equipment, no matter what. And we had a few situations where you would get there and everything was MA, except you'd have an NPU processor or an MA Lite backup desk somewhere tucked under the stage that one of the copies, which under normal pretense, like really wouldn't be that big an issue, except it's not as tight as any of the real stuff and you're going to get ghosts in the machine. So you get all sorts of crazy crashes and all sorts of problems. And in one instance, hunting down for hours, trying to figure it all out, and finally found out that the vendor had hidden an NPU that was a knockoff underneath the stage, hidden amongst a bunch of road cases around it so that nobody could find it.
I mean, like locally in Minnesota,
finally got to it.
Except it's an MPU.
Avos that like swear up and down they're real. And then it's like, nope, this and this are way wrong. And they like lose their mind about it.
Look at this. Please be cautious and check with your supplier if this product is for virus protection purposes. And if coronavirus will affect your order. I mean, what the hell is that?
What the fuck does that mean?
Oh my God. I have no idea.
Bill Gates on your console again.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
So I have a drone show for $8,000 and I got a console for $2,000. I'm $10,000 into it. I got a full blown production company running.
There you go.
Out, PRG. Here I come. Alibaba is going to be my supplier.
If you go to page 99, you can actually buy a few small children to set it up for you.
Boy.
Man, you guys are going to hell today. Wow.
Just by the kids. That's
that decision happened a long time ago. Now it's just go big or go home at this point.
That's awesome. It's hilarious.
I'll take 32 children and we will strap iPads to their chest and throw them out of a plane.
The Alibaba stagehands.
It's a show.
It's an awesome drone show once.
No repeat.
Screaming Halloween.
You only get one shot.
Oh my
show.
God.
I said a square.
That is frightening.
Chris,
oh my God.
Oh, Chris, have you been at my my sushi restaurant this week?
I have definitely been back to Atoya at least once. But today's lunch was masa.
Oh, nice.
One of those restaurants you'd yell at me was too expensive.
That goes without saying.
Dude, $1,000 for four different kinds of fucking salmon? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm still pissed.
I can't imagine what your monthly food budget is, Chris.
Fuck. Or Huntley's.
I mean, even when you eat at home, you don't eat shit. That's for sure.
No.
You know, I watch your Instagram pictures, and every time I watch it, I'm like, I look at my girlfriend, and I go, why can't you cook like that? What the hell is your deal? Why can't you cook like that?
Why can't you?
She's looking at the pictures, and she's going, they're not real.
I just pictured Chris at the meat market like, this Wagyu actually is at 14% fat, so we're going to need to get the more lean stuff to go up to the 300 per gram. Thank you.
Yeah, that's
your food costs more than most people's drugs.
Or that is my drug. Or cars. That's my drug of choice is food.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine if you were a drug addict and you liked all that food? Jesus,
you call me another job. You can't have gold.
No.
One or the other.
Now, that place was awesome, though, that we went to. And for reasonable for lunch.
Yep.
Which place was that?
Atoya.
Oh. I think I went there with... How long has it been there? A long time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have memories from 8 years ago being there.
I think I went there with Robert Mokry one time and still managed to live to talk about it.
No, it's really good. But my favorite manager, she went back to Japan for a month. So she's not there at the moment. So I figured I'd get somewhere else this week.
Back to shows in Vegas. NAB canceled, I see. I was supposed to be there on Sunday to go to the convention, and now there's two more that seem like they're about to cancel in December for us. What have you been hearing, Patrick?
Which one? Is it CES?
Yeah.
It seems to be 50-50, and it's just sort of been like that for the last 2 months. You know, for every show we book, we get another one that cancels. You know,
G2E is in right now. That's 20,000 people.
Which one's that?
G2E, that gaming.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going full tilt right now.
Thank God.
It's there's no figuring it.
Now, so, I knew NAB was in trouble when Canon pulled out because of COVID, and then Sony and Red were like, yeah, we're out of here too. And so, but there were people that already had a ton of stuff already in the marshalling yard at GES for the convention, you know, or in their storage that got sent back. So they're pretty pissed off.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the whole Delta variant fear porn that went out really freaked so many producers out, and rightfully so. I mean, if you're about to dump, you know, several hundred thousand or several million into an event, and you're not entirely sure that the government's going to pull a crazy Ivan on you, you know, you're really hosed. You're not recouping those costs. So it's a problem. And I don't think these people really understand the ramifications of their hollering about the sky falling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm hopeful that the LA Auto Show continues on. So far, so good. But I mean, Javits canceled, what, the week before Loden for New York Auto Show? Yeah. So, I mean, who knows?
We already had stuff in the air.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Ace was saying he had stuff in the air, too.
Fourwall had like 18 trucks of gear in there already.
Who did?
Immediately send crews back in to rip out. Fourwall.
Who had 18 trucks of gear?
Fourwall.
Oh. Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting ridiculous on this stuff. Like even Live Nation you know, the tours, the A and B tours are doing okay, but still, I mean, they're turning away between 50 and 300 people a night in these venues right now because they're coming in with fake COVID cards or fake vaccinations or none. And then they're screaming bloody murder. I mean, you know, like the arena or people are testing positive though. I think they outlawed it last week, but you were able to go over to like CVS, buy a COVID test, take it, wait 15 minutes outside and show them that you took the test and you could go in. And I think they've gotten rid of that. Now I think you have to have a vaccine card starting October 7th, tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got to take my daughter tonight to go get a COVID test because she got exposed on Friday at school.
Oh, shit.
And, but she's vaccinated. So, you know, like they're still letting her in school, you know, but.
Wait, she was exposed and they're letting her in school?
Yeah, because she's vaccinated.
But the vaccine doesn't do anything for that.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, there's some evidence that shows that the vaccine prevents you, lowers your chances of catching it significantly.
So lowers, you're exposed. You still give it to kids if you're in that low percentage.
That's yeah, right. I got a house full of people here that would argue with that. That's for sure. You know, I got it. She got it. The kid got it. Everybody got it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all dependent, but she hasn't
done anything. Yeah, it's better than not having it, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And she's got no symptoms, so we're taking her to, I got to take her to get tested tonight or tomorrow.
Well, hopefully that goes well.
And then she's required to, you know, submit it to the school, and then she can. Otherwise, they take her out of school until.
So, speaking of testing, has anyone gone to Europe recently, or specifically the UK? It's freaking insanity. It's a shit show. So, my son landed there yesterday. He flew on Monday, but. I don't know, just a couple days before the flight, you know, I knew he had to get tested. I knew he had to get vaccinated, which he finally got vaccinated, the little anti-vaxxer that he is. And so he had to get vaccinated and I knew he had to get tested within 72 hours of his flight. So, you know, without reading all the small print, we just did both tests, the PCR test and an antigen test. And, so then I'm reading small print in one of the American Airlines documents, and it says, he needs to fill out this, I forget what it's called, the passenger tracking form or something, so that they know exactly where you're going and what you're doing and who you're sitting next to and all of this stuff, which is fine. But then if you're vaccinated and you come from one of the green countries that they call them, then you have to get a test within 2 days of landing. So within 48 hours of landing in the UK, you got to get another test, which to me makes no sense whatsoever. You're vaccinated and you got a test prior to leaving, but now you got to get a test when you land as well, right? So, and you can't fly unless you have that test scheduled for when you land within 48 hours of landing. So I booked it in...
You have to show proof that you scheduled it? Wow.
Yeah, you have to have this booking confirmation number or whatever that they've got, right? I mean, the one thing I will say is that the UK has it pretty organized as a nation, not as 40,000 different rules. They've got it organized as one rule.
Everyone else in the world has it more organized than us.
Yeah, but it's a nightmare. I mean, the shit that you got to do to go to the UK is unbelievable. And then you get there and nobody cares. Nobody cares. You know, it's like, you know, no big deal whatsoever once you're there. So I don't know. What a pain in the ass. Like, I can understand why people aren't traveling right now. Cause it really, like I was saying to my girlfriend as I was, cause I literally on Saturday morning, I probably spent 6 hours on this, on booking the tests, on completing these passenger tracing forms and all this stuff. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I'm a pretty savvy traveler. I've been traveling the world for a lot of years. Can you imagine like somebody in their 70s who, you know, they've been saving up for this trip to go see castles in the UK for the last 5 years and here they're going, how they'd figure out their way through this stuff and just maneuver through all of this stuff. It's daunting. It's crazy.
Yep.
Really complicated. You know, and then the airlines cancel your flight. Like we were booked on, he was flying out of Tampa direct into Gatwick, and we had a rental car at Gatwick and all this stuff, right? And so all of a sudden, oh, we've canceled that flight. Now you got to fly on American Airlines and you got to go through Chicago into Heathrow.
Right.
And, but your return flight is going out of Gatwick. So now, you know, his coach has to pick up a rental car in Heathrow. You can't drop it off at Gatwick. So he's got to drop it off at Heathrow and then go back to Gatwick. And it's just, you know, traveling right now, unless you have to, what a pain in the ass.
Well, and I think people aren't, you know, there's, that's why they're canceling flights. They can't sell enough seats to make it worth.
Well, and this American flight was half full, you know?
Really?
So yeah, it was half full. He said, yeah, we flew in coach and, you know, I had my own row and laid down and slept.
Oh, that's awesome. Love that.
So
it's not good for the airlines though.
it's terrible for the airlines.
I just flew this week. It's pretty, Philadelphia was busy. Washington was busy. I flew up to Maine and back.
Yeah, I saw your pictures. Beautiful pictures.
Thank you. It's nice.
Looked like you had a nice trip.
Yeah, my daughter's working up there, so I snuck up for
her. Oh, cool. Did you have any lobster? I didn't see your, like, four lobsters a day, like what Cosmo was eating.
Yeah, no. My wife ate some stuff, but I stuck with the haddock fish and things like that.
Oh, yeah. 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 Cool. No, travel is a pain in the ass right now. I mean, domestic's okay. You know, you got to wear a mask and stuff, but it's fine. But internationals, whew, what a nightmare. And the problem is, so get this. Here's another one. So Jeremy and his coach both went up to the counter with all this paperwork. Jeremy just handed them a manila folder of stuff, right? Because he's a 17-year-old kid and he goes, here. It's all in there, whatever it is. And so on his test, which was a rapid test, they said it was an antigen test. On his coach's test, who had it from the same CVS, you know, same thing, but they didn't put antigen on it. It just said rapid test, right? So the American Airlines person says, no, this is not good enough. And he goes, it's the same test that he got. No, it's not. He got an antigen test. Well, a rapid test is an antigen test. No, it's not, you know, and so this was the same problem I had when I went to Canada. They just don't know. So the easiest answer is always no. When you don't know, just say no, you know, nope, you can't fly. Sorry. So he said they held up the line for like an hour and a half because of this.
So how bad are there?
They had to get a doctor on the line to confirm to them that this was an antigen test.
How bad is the Canadian border to get in?
Easy, simple. Really? Yeah, totally simple. Really, really easy. It was actually coming back to the U.S. where I ran into the problem where they didn't know because I had a positive result. And that's a whole different process when you've got a positive result because they don't want you to take another test. The CDC says it. They don't want you taking a test because there's a good chance you'll test positive still, right? So,
Was it a false positive or did you have COVID?
No, I had COVID.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like right after I got the vaccine, like probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks after I got the vaccine, I got COVID.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was one of those lucky early Delta guys. What do they call it, a crossover or something?
You had it twice now, too. You're a collector.
I had it twice. Yeah, I'm a collector of COVID. I'm a flea bag.
Breakthrough case.
But yeah, no, I had it. And, but I mean, the thing is, it's actually easier because you don't have to go to get tests done and stuff. If you have a positive test result, you just got to carry around a doctor's note that says you're good to travel, which I do.
Oh, got it.
How are you good to travel if you're positive?
No, it has to be at least 14 days old.
Oh.
Your positive test result.
Cause you're running around.
It's between 14 and 90 days, like Pokemon. You're a dick.
True. Collect them all, man.
You are such a dickhead, Patrick. I love that. That's funny as hell, man. Like Pokemon. I love that.
So ticket sales, the public theater in New York City opened up ticket sales for one of their smaller spaces, and they're sold out through the end of the year in less than a week.
Which one?
The public theater. It's called the Ghost Pub, and they have like it's a small theater, but you know they have like one show a day, and they opened it up and it literally sold out for the whole year and in under a week.
Damn. Wow! So people are that hungry for theater, huh?
People are that hungry for tickets to go to shows. Yeah.
Are you guys fully open now in Broadway, or is it still partially closed?
There's still some shows that are closed. Some shows have not remounted yet. You know, I think
I like to call on David Barber for our Broadway updates. He just knows.
They can't remount all the shows at the exact same time. They're finding out because there's not enough consoles or lights to go around everybody.
Alibaba, problem solved, dude.
I know.
You guys should call me when you need help. I know where to go.
There are 11 shows running right now.
Wow.
And there's going to be more every week, you know, right through the end of the year.
And well, we I would imagine during the holidays, they're going to pick up, right?
Yes, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. So when January 1st, it'll be pretty much fully operating.
That's what I was just going to ask you. When do we call Broadway fully open?
January. Yeah.
It's interesting to see how they're handling a lot of that. My uncle's in the Lehman Brothers trilogy, and they're for any understudy roles, they're not making everybody come in. They're calling them by a certain time each day that will allow them enough time to commute in if they're needed. So that because of the space backstage becomes really difficult to social distance people and deal with all of that just from a logistical standpoint.
So it's like jury duty where you call in and see if you need it that day and then.
Yeah, basically. It's been interesting to hear his takes on a lot of it.
Does he get paid either way or he only gets paid if he goes in?
No, you're on call. That's part of your union contract.
Funny, you mentioned jury duty. That's where I was.
They tried to get me on jury duty this week, and I sent them a very nice letter. And then they were like, "Okay, we'll talk to you in 22." I'm like, "Perfect."
I got dismissed. I went in, and they called like 40 out of 50 people, and I was one of the 10 people that got to go home.
So you want a funny story here. So, you know, Canadian, you don't get called for jury duty. So as soon as I got my American passport, like, I don't know, a month later, I got called for jury duty. And so I go in there and I was sort of on the fence. Like I had one foot on either side. Do I want to be on a jury? Do I not want to be on a jury? And I knew what to say. Like, if you just go in and go, "I hate black people," boom, you're off the jury, right? You're not going to get picked.
That works.
And, gay people, black people, Chinese people, tall people, short people. You can say whatever you want. You know, I dislike a certain group of people and you're going to get thrown off the jury. So I was like, well, wait, I want to sort of manipulate this situation and figure out which direction I want to go. So I wanted to check it out. I've never been on a jury. I'm Canadian, right? So I decide I want to get picked. So I say all the right things and I get picked. And so I finally get in the room with this jury. And I say all the right things because I want to become the jury foreman, right? So I become the jury foreman. And so then I get bored, you know, because now it's getting real. Like, this looks like this could go over into tomorrow. And we're
Marcel, split you right let an A slip, didn't you? You were like, how about that split, A? And they were
they're split right down the middle, right? Like, half think the guy's guilty, half think he's not guilty. He's obviously guilty. Like, it's just, you know, some people are much nicer than the other people, but he's obviously guilty. So I decide I'm going to spend about 30 minutes and convince this half that he's guilty. And, you know, that's what we managed to do. So the guy,
and they let you stay?
No, I stayed. I mean, the guy was convicted and we were gone in a day. It was good. It was all good.
Yeah, my wife, who's a Chinese citizen, she got jury duty. I'm like, call them up and tell them you're a Chinese resident. See what they say. They couldn't get her out of there quick enough.
Oh my God, that's funny.
But no, but I had jury duty. I mean,
it's pretty easy not to get picked if you don't want to get picked.
I was juror number one. I got called in, and the defense and the prosecuting got to, you know, ask me questions. And they have my sheet on my paper, or my questionnaire that I filled out. And he goes, so it says here you smoke cigars with LAPD and LA sheriffs. Yep. Well, what do you guys talk about when you smoke cigars? Oh, all the bad people they arrest. And he goes, well, so do you think any of those people are innocent? I'm like, well, no, that's why they got arrested. Boom, oh, out of there.
Yeah, like, pretty.
I could have told cool you, dum-dums.
Yeah. That's hilarious. No, it's, it was an interesting process. Like, I was just curious. That's all. I just wanted to.
I was not. You know, I've seen it on TV enough. I'm good. I got other stuff to do.
I'm too busy right now to be curious.
I just wanted to check it out.
I just love seeing people take pride in their civil process, boy.
Yeah, Dearson, how many juries have you served on?
Dearson, zero. He ain't going to get picked.
I'm just honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was the other thing they asked me. He goes, so we see that your news source is Fox News. Yeah. Strike three, Your Honor. Let's go. Let's get him out of here. Yeah. So, yeah, I knew how to get out of this quickly. And other people were like, I really want to do this. So I'm like, you have a great day. Go for it. I will be out of here so fast.
I'm pretty safe from now on. I have a son-in-law who's a cop. And that gets you bounced immediately.
Oh,
if
really?
You have family, if you got family members that are in law enforcement.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just tell them I know Dearson and they kick me right the fuck out.
They shoot you and then send you home.
Yeah. No, stop.
Bring him down to the waterboard room. Let's see what he knows.
It's not waterboarding if you use diesel. Remember that. There's a special thing about it. No, well, nobody wants to be holding the jug and the towel when the oversight committee comes around.
Oh, jeez.
The truth of the world I've lived in.
That's classic. That's a good one. Yeah.
Well, maybe one of these days when rock and roll's all over, I can be an international spy. That's what I'm looking forward to.
The next James Bond.
Yeah, James is done. You could step right into that role.
Isn't your drone business just the cover for that?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm secretly taking pictures of everybody for the government, and I submit them, and then they give me a file with a bunch of cash and passports. So I'm not supposed to talk about it. Hmm?
You work for the government or Google?
Oh, Facebook.
It's one and the same.
Yeah.
Where am I here?
What did so I Eric, miss? You got picked or no?
Did I miss anything? Sorry, I was late.
Dearson showed us his new tattoo. You don't want to see it.
Let's see it.
Just saying.
Oh, maybe. No. Kidding. Totally kidding. Totally kidding. Don't want to see it. Good.
Welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day.
Just may appear much smaller than they really are.
Welcome to the United States of America, the land of opportunity.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So what exciting LDI stuff is floating around? Anything? Have there been any updates of things to look forward to? Or
hoping you were going to say that.
Where's Alan?
Not even a golf tournament anymore.
Yeah, there hasn't been a golf tournament in a long time.
What's Loader going to do?
I know, right?
He's the lone player here right now.
He's going to show up by iPad again.
He's going to start a golf tournament.
The Elation Golf, the LDI Elation Golf Tournament, a new era.
Yeah, I remember Bali High, and then you're just going to see a little Roomba running around with his iPad on a boot.
Eric, probably the same year that you and I split that bill at LDI. I took the upstaging guys out to play golf, and you know me, I'm not much of a golfer, and we go to some really nice course. They picked it, and I'm thinking on the outside, what's it going to cost? $100, you know, per person or whatever. So I'm like, no, I'm going to pay. I'm paying, you know? And so, you know, all this stuff happens and people grab a sleeve of balls or a glove or whatever. And it's like, I don't know, $2,200 or something for six of us. I think it was insane. It was like $300 a person to play golf.
Did you play a win? Was it a win?
No, it
doesn't matter. They're out of state. You know, any of the good courses, you're paying at least $200, $250 for just the tee time.
I was almost crying. Like I was putting on my sunglasses so they couldn't see tears in my eyes.
you really stretched your credit card that year, huh?
I did. Yeah, it was painful. But that was, you know, that was the before 2010. It was times were good.
Isn't there a golf course called like Bear Creek or Bear Path up there?
Bear's Best.
Yeah.
Yes. So Tim Brennan took me there when I had my office in Vegas as when he was the Martin rep, and we played, and the caddy is in front of me and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, watching your ball. I'm like, they call me Wild Thing, dude. I would move. He's like, no, you'll be fine. So as he's picking his grass out of his teeth, cause it ball literally went over his head as he took a dive into the dirt. He's like, I believe you now. And so we get done playing.
What is your problem?
I sliced and went basically right over his head, just about at head high. And he told me that he would rather have eightsomes of 75-year-old ladies than play with the four of us ever again. And he said, I appreciate the tip that you're going to give me, but I also want to go to the bar with you guys because you guys are buying me a drink.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was, we should have not been, like a mini putt would have been much better for all of us. I can't remember who else was there, but it was really bad.
Yeah, they don't do the caddy thing out there anymore.
Yeah, the caddy's riding on the back of the cart, like standing there.
Yeah,
like,
four caddy. Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Oh, so bad. Yeah, no more caddies ever for me. I'm good. You know, he's like telling me how to like hit the ball with what club. I'm like, this is a losing battle, pal.
Yeah, I remember I played with Darren DeVerna at Westchester, and I forget who was there. Who was the guy? What were those two guys called that were opposites? There was a TV show about them. Oh my God.
The Odd Couple?
Yeah, the Odd
Couple.
So what was the one actor who was a Broadway actor?
Tony Randall.
Yeah.
Is it Tony Randall?
Jack Klugman and Tony
Randall. Yeah, so Tony Randall was at this golf thing that I was at with Darren DeVerna, and he was in our foursome. So it was me, Tony Randall, Darren DeVerna, and somebody else. I forget who. And I'm not a great golfer, right? So, you know, we've got caddies and... I mean, the caddy was just constantly looking for my golf ball. I felt bad because he wasn't taking care of Tony Randall. You know, he's off in the woods somewhere looking for my ball. And I'm like, it's okay. I got another one. You know, I got more. I'm fine.
Why do all your golf so bad. Evolve into a Happy Gilmore skit?
Because I'm just, it's also why I haven't played in like 7 years or 8 years.
It'd been better if you would have beat the shit out of Tony Randall on the third.
I thought about it.
Was he nice?
I don't recall. I just
no. He didn't like Marcel.
Very embarrassed.
Get the fuck out of here.
It was a Broadway actor. Of course, he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yep.
Plus, he neglected to say that he does not like to lose.
No, where did I get that from? My older sister taught me that one.
Yeah, right. I don't like to lose either. It's true.
No. I remember playing cards one time and I think you flipped the entire table upside down.
I won't even play anymore.
I'm not playing this anymore.
Runs in the family.
Yeah. Yeah. Possible.
Well, I got to run, guys. See you later.
Me too.
3 o'clock.
Me too.
See y'all next week.
Here we go. Everyone's leaving. Bye.
Everybody's failing.
Put in our hour.
I was late, Marcel. I'll stay and talk to you.
Oh, just me and you?
Very gracious.
Yeah, we can gossip about everybody else.
Doodles.
Yeah, yeah.
We can talk about Chris McMean and
just stop the recording now.
I'm out.
No, I can't. I have a debt to society. No, I'm gonna go because I'm hungry. Bye.
Really?
Hey, everyone.
Nice to see you guys.
See you. Eric.
Bye. We'll be right back.
My sweet, sweet thing.